Read together in the Word of God in our Sunday morning series of studies in the New Testament in the Gospel according to St. John, and we have reached chapter 11. This is the story that is normally called the story of the raising of Lazarus. Whether that's the best title or not remains to be seen. It's rather a long story. It covers 44 verses, but we couldn't possibly stop in the middle. John's Gospel, chapter 11, at verse 1. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. It was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was ill. So the sister sent to Jesus, saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness is not unto death. It is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that he was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this he said to the disciples, "Let us go into Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were but now seeking to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours in the day? If anyone walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if anyone walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him." Thus he spoke. And then he said to them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awake him out of his sleep." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will recover." Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest and sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad that I was not there." Notice, he doesn't say he's glad that Lazarus had died. He said, "For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." Now when Jesus came, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb 4 days. Bethany was near Jerusalem, about 2 miles off. And many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them concerning their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary sat in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. And even now I know that whatever you ask from God, God will give you." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ who was to come into the world." When she had said this, she went and called her sister Mary, saying quietly, "The teacher," the old authorized version has it, "the master is here and is calling for you." And when Mary heard this, she rose quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still in the place where Martha had met him. When the Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary rise quickly and go out, they followed her, supposing that she was going to the tomb to weep there. Then Mary, when she came where Jesus was and saw him, fell at his feet, saying exactly the same as her sister had said, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. And he said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. So the Jews said, see how he loved. That is, see how Jesus loved Lazarus. But some of them said, could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man, one of his best friends, from dying? Then Jesus, deeply moved again, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said, Lord, by this time there will be an odor, a smell, for he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, did I not tell you that if you would believe, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me. I knew that thou hearest me always. But I have said this on the account of the people standing by, that they may believe that thou didst send me. When he had said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with bandages and his face wrapped with a cloth. And Jesus said to them, unbind him and let him go home. Amen, and may God bless to our hearts such a reading from his word. Now will you turn with me in your Bibles to this story that we read in John's Gospel, chapter 11. And let me say right from the start that there is far too much in this story to be dealt with in one sermon. But I'm not at all sure that we'll come back to the story next Sunday morning. This story here that we call the story of the raising of Lazarus is a story that is full of drama. You can't say that it's a dull story. It's full of drama. It's a story that's full of tenderness. I hope you noticed that as we read it. It's a story that's full of sorrow, full of perplexity, and it's a story that's got a great deal of heart in it. It's a very, very human story, and yet it is a story that is full of spiritual teaching. It's interesting that it is only John in his gospel that records this story. Matthew, Mark, and Luke don't record it. And you might have thought that the writer of the third gospel, Luke, who was a doctor, might have been very interested in this kind of story, even from a medical point of view. But he doesn't record it. But that doesn't cause any confusion or any embarrassment, because Luke records the story of the raising of Jairus' daughter, and John doesn't record it. In Matthew's Gospel, at chapter 11, at verse 5, there was a question from John the Baptist, are you he, speaking to Jesus, are you he who is to come, or shall we look for another? And Jesus answered, go and tell John the Baptist what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, and the dead are... You see, Matthew knew about it as well. The dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is he who takes no offense in me. The story of the raising of Lazarus. It's so full of detail that it must be the account of someone who was an eyewitness, somebody who really was there. The situation, the location, if you like, of the story is the village of Bethany, which is about 2 miles from the city of Jerusalem, and it was from the village of Bethany that the Palm Sunday procession started, came up over the hill and down the hill and in through the gate of the city of Jerusalem. The time when this marvelous event happened was perhaps 2 or 3 months before Jesus died on the cross. It was getting towards the climax or the end of his ministry. And it's interesting that at that time in our Lord's life, the whole issue of friends that he could talk to and friends who would talk to him was very, very important in both a human and a spiritual sense. Jesus wasn't in Bethany. He was some distance away from Bethany. How far, we don't know. In what area, we're not quite sure. But we have this story. The story of a very serious illness. Now, a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister. It was a serious illness. And this family, the three of them, were very, very good friends of Jesus. There is no doubt at all that they loved Jesus. But in verse 3 of the story, their appeal to Jesus was not on the basis of their love for Jesus, but Jesus' love for Lazarus. It doesn't say Jesus loved love for the three of them, although I'm quite sure he loved the three of them. But all between Jesus and Lazarus, there was a particular bond of friendship. The sisters sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." And you've got to be human yourself and think, putting into human terms, think of all the times that Jesus and Lazarus had sat one at either side of the fireplace, as it were, talking together, while the two women folk perhaps were busy doing other things. Can you imagine the human reaction of Jesus when he gets this message, "Lazarus, whom you love, is ill"? Their appeal was on the basis of Jesus' love for Lazarus. Now, I've no doubt at all, although it's not said specifically, that these two sisters, Mary and Martha, were women of faith and women of prayer. And I'm quite sure they prayed for their brother. But as they prayed for their brother, and the illness obviously became more and more serious, and they could see with their eyes that he was failing, the situation, as far as they were concerned, had become crisis. And they sent this message to Jesus. And while all this was going on, Lazarus died. Now, the sisters were baffled. They were baffled that Jesus had not come until it was too late. Well, at least they considered it to be too late. I've no doubt at all that Martha and Mary had expected Jesus to come. Otherwise, they wouldn't have sent for him. They didn't say, oh, he'll be too busy. No, no. They said, oh, well, he'll maybe be busy, but for Lazarus' sake, so they sent the message. They had expected him to come. And according to the words of both sisters later on, both Martha and Mary, they were quite sure that if Jesus came, then the crisis would be remedied. They had a supreme trust in Jesus. They had confidence in Jesus. And the sisters sent to Jesus saying, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard this, he said, "The illness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it." And I just wonder, I'm inclined to think this, that the messenger who was sent by the two sisters went back home to Bethany and said to Mary and Martha, Jesus said, "This illness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God." And perhaps at that stage Lazarus had not died. Perhaps at that stage their hopes were raised. Only very soon to be crushed. This sickness is not unto death, said... Oh, they believed every word that Jesus said. They never doubted Jesus. This illness is not unto death. And then he died. Can you not imagine the sister saying, why? 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 Now, as I've indicated once or twice already, we call this story the story of the raising of Lazarus. I suppose that's a reasonable title, but I don't think it's the proper title. It's really the story of the person and the power of Jesus Christ, the conqueror of death. You go through this story as I did before I came to church this morning, and I think you'll find in these 19 verses, in these 44 verses, the name Jesus occurs 19 times. And if you add the number of times you've got the word he or him or Lord, you end up with a substantial total. Tremendous number of mentions of Jesus compared to the mentions of Lazarus or Martha or Mary. The focus of this story is Jesus. Yes, I know the focus is also on the sisters and the disciples. But the real focus of the story, and the real focus, in the purpose of John in recording the story, is to fix our minds and our hearts on Jesus. You remember what we said way back at the beginning, if I remember rightly, of this series of studies, quoting from John chapter 20 at verse 30. Now, Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, including the story of Lazarus. These stories are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. The picture you see in the story in John chapter 11 is the picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who gives us life. The picture of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who raises us from the darkness of death, spiritual death, into life that is eternal. But of course, it's easy to misunderstand the story. Look back to John chapter 11, verses 12, 13, and 14. Jesus spoke and said to the disciples, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I go to awake him out of sleep." The disciples said, "Lord, if he's fallen asleep, he'll waken up." Now, Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought that he meant taking rest in sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead." And then the next words, which we gave a word of caution with during the scripture reading, "Lazarus is dead, and for your sake, I am glad that I was not there." He wasn't glad that Lazarus had died. And don't think for a moment that Jesus took it in his stride, that this very dear friend of his had died, because at the grave he wept. He is a human Jesus, and he feels and he recognizes that feelings have to be felt and have to be expressed, especially the feelings of bereavement. Yes, he knew he was the conqueror of death. And yet as he stood at that grave, he wept. And he said to the disciples, "I'm glad that I was not there, so that you might believe." So that they might believe what? So that they might believe that sin and death and all that we mean by evil are conquered. Remember when Jesus said, let's go into Judea, let's go to Bethany. The disciples said, Rabbi, what are you thinking about? The Jews were just not long ago there wanting to stone you. Are you going there again? And Jesus said, paraphrasing it as we did at the prayer meeting last night, you're immortal until your work is done. And then in verse 16, Thomas, it's amazing that in his company of chosen disciples, Jesus had somebody who always exercised a tremendous depression and sense of failure. Thomas always thought the worst. And not only did he always think the worst, he said it. Lord, we'll never manage. Lord, you should own all of it. And then he said, come on then, fellas. We'll all go and we'll die together. Jesus had quite a mixture among his disciples. But Jesus said, remember at the beginning, verse 4, when Jesus heard that Lazarus had died, he said, this illness is not unto death, it is for the glory of God, so that the Son of God may be glorified by means of it. Now, what does it mean, the Son of Man glorified? What I said at the beginning. So that all the attention would be focused on Jesus Christ, lifted up to be seen for who and what he is, the mighty Savior from sin and the conqueror of death. It's for the glory of God, said Jesus. It will reveal the glory of the God who loves and saves. Now, how were these various objectives to be accomplished? That the disciples might believe, that God's glory might be manifested, that the Son of Man might be glorified. What was Jesus to do? Well, Lazarus is seriously ill. We think he's dying. Jesus could have healed the sick Lazarus from a distance as he had done before. He didn't have to go. That's recorded in the Gospels. He spoke the word, and at a distance miles away, the miracle happened. Jesus could have healed the sick from a distance as he had done before. He could have spared the disciples, if he had done that, he would have spared the disciples from going near to Jerusalem. And such was the uncertain nature of their faith and their confidence in Jesus at that stage, that the thought of going anywhere near Jerusalem filled them with apprehension. And Jesus could have looked at his uncertain disciples and said, you can't cope with it. So, let's do the miracle in absentia. Let's do it from a distance. Jesus could also have spared the sisters, Martha and Mary, whom he loved as he loved their brother, and who loved him as their brother loved him. He could have spared the sisters from going through the dark, costly valley of doubt and fear. Yes, the doubt and the fear and the apprehension before their brother actually breathed his last. Can you imagine them either sitting at the bedside or going out and into the room, looking, wondering, looking down the road to see if there was any sign of Jesus, their hearts crying out in prayer, the kind of prayer that they couldn't put into words. Jesus could have spared the sisters from going through all that. But such was his love for, and such I think was his measure of confidence in these two sisters, that he was prepared to trust them, to trust him, and to learn faith from it. One thing the sisters certainly learned was that even though God's ways are past finding out. It's easy to quote that, isn't it? It's easy. Oh yes, I believe that. It's not easy to live with it. Oh, comparatively easy when life is reasonably smooth. Oh yes, there's the ups and downs and the various battles and struggles here and there. But when the real crises come, and when mind and heart and spirit are utterly baffled, because God's ways are past finding out, it's not easy then to believe. It's not easy then to believe that in all things God works for good for them that love him. And these sisters learned that although God's ways are indeed past finding out, his delays are not in any sense a denial of his love. You go through the story when you go home, or sometime perhaps later on today. You go through the story and mark all that it says about Jesus. I'm not going to give you the verses. Read it for yourself. Jesus heard. Say it again. Jesus heard. Jesus loved. Jesus stayed. Jesus spoke. Jesus came. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Jesus said, do you believe? Jesus called Mary. Jesus was deeply moved. And when you're hurting, he's hurting. That's what it means. He was deeply moved. He said to Mary to come. He spoke to the open grave. I wonder what the people were thinking. Lazarus, come forth. I'm sure there were cynics. There are always cynics, poor souls that they are. Always cynics. How can a dead man hear? Oh, they got a shock. Isn't it recorded somewhere earlier on in John's Gospel where Jesus said, the day will come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Lazarus, come forth. And Lazarus came forth out of death. And Jesus said, loose him. Set him free. And oh, this lovely bit. Set him free. And let him go home. I don't know how often I go back to the verse in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 25. Speaking of our Lord Jesus Christ. He is able to save to the uttermost. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the need. He is able to save to the uttermost. All those who come to God through him. This Jesus is the focus of our story. Yes, we're allowed to focus on the picture of Jesus and this family of three at Bethany. In the first three verses of the chapter. You have another story of the family at Bethany at the beginning of chapter 12. 6 days before... Just 6 days before Good Friday and all of Gethsemane and the cross, Jesus came to Bethany where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. There they made him a supper. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at table with him. Mary took a pound of costly ointment of pure nard and anointed the feet of Jesus, wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the fragrance of the oil. Oh, we've got to come to that another Sunday. That needs a sermon on its own. But oh, what a home this was in Bethany. What a wealth of love there was for the Savior. expressed by Mary in one way with the box of ointment. Oh, that was Mary's temperament, you see. But the wealth of love was expressed by Martha in a different... That was Martha's temperament. But what the two sisters did, they did for love of Jesus. And there was Lazarus. And you know, when you read of this home, I always feel that Lazarus, described here, Lazarus whom Jesus loved, seems in some ways to be overshadowed by his two very positive sisters. But they loved each other in spite of all. We've spoken about Mary's expression of love. We've spoken of Martha's. I think, as I mentioned it earlier in the sermon, but it bears repeating, Lazarus whom you love. My mind there has a picture of two men who were totally comfortable in each other's company. And I would have liked, if it had been possible, to hear either Lazarus or Jesus saying, come on, brother, draw up a chair beside us and let's talk together. You see, what I said to the children was true. This Jesus, he wants us. He wants to be friends with us. Not just that we might express the friendship of our hearts to him, but that we might receive that friendship from him. These two men, totally comfortable in each other's company. And I can imagine the sick Lazarus being very aware as he lay in bed of the worry of his two sisters. I can imagine Lazarus saying, he'll come if he can. Because you see, even when he was dying, Lazarus, in his love for Jesus, trusted him. I find it interesting in verse 11 that Jesus spoke and said to the disciples, our friend Lazarus. Almost as if Jesus was saying to his disciples, you know, if you weren't so stuffy and so reluctant and so unwilling to open your heart and say how you really feel, you could be incorporated into this friendship. But you're aloof. Lazarus, our friend, has fallen asleep. Then Lazarus had died, and Jesus wept. Oh, I'm glad he can weep. You come across people that, no matter what happens, they never seem to weep. I think they're too brave. They're not like Jesus. Jesus wept, sharing the grief of the sisters. Jesus wept at the grave, I think, disappointed by the doubt and the hesitation of the disciples. Standing there at the graveside with a crowd of curious onlookers and the official mourners who had come to weep in the house along with Mary and Martha, Jesus wept because of the curiosity of the crowd, and all they had really was official sorrow. Jesus wept because of the burden of his heart, because he was taking to himself all the griefs. Isn't that what it says in Isaiah chapter 53? All our griefs, all our sorrows, and all our hearts, and all our sins. Yes, Jesus wept. The last time I preached on this story, I quoted from a book by the late Reverend Alexander White. I think it's, you know, Jesus Bible Characters. I think it was that book. And in relation to the story, Alexander White said, well, Perhaps Jesus wept because he felt a very, very real sorrow at calling his friend Lazarus back from the glory and the joy of heaven to back to a world like this, knowing that poor Lazarus would have to go through the process of dying all over again. It's an interesting thought. But you know, when someone is weeping as Jesus wept, we must never ask too many brash questions. There is an element of privacy in grief. But oh, we need friends with whom we can weep. There's a great deal in this story. I admit I've only skimmed the surface of it. There's a great deal in this story that we are not told. Unbind him and let him go home. It's a great word, isn't it? As if Jesus said, that's where he wants to be. He looked at Lazarus and said, Lazarus, that's where you want to go. Off you go, I'll join you later. Which he did. Think of the reaction of Lazarus as he heard the voice of Jesus. Lazarus, come forth. Oh, I don't know how far down the valley of the shadow of death you go in 4 days. It's a lot of these things I don't know. I'll discover one of these days. But yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because he'll be there. Think of the reaction of Lazarus as he opened his eyes and saw Jesus. Think of the joy of Martha and Mary. Think of, oh, they're two dear women. Can you imagine them later on, perhaps in the kitchen, washing the dishes after a meal, talking about all and saying to each other, oh yes, I think they'd have tears in their cheeks again, saying to each other, why did we doubt? And at the raising of Lazarus, I'm glad there's no record here of a crowd of reporters with their intrusive and stupid questions, looking for a story, but not really interested in the facts and not really interested in the people, looking for a story but not interested in the significance. If there had been, oh, isn't it appalling what happens nowadays? Can you imagine had there been these stupid reporters saying to Lazarus, sticking out their microphone, Lazarus, what was it like in the grave? Where did you go? What did you know about? What did you see? None of that. What we have to see as we come to the end of the story, what we must see is the mixture of attitudes to Jesus. Martha and Mary, they both said, you know, Lord, if you had been here, you wouldn't have died. What was there rebuke in their voice? I don't know. Was it just sorrow and bafflement? I don't know. But they both said it. Lord, if you had been here, it wouldn't have happened. But then the story developed. And perhaps later on, previously, maybe the two sisters together, but I rather think the two sisters separately would have been saying, Jesus, have you a minute to spare? Certainly. And I can imagine them in their different ways saying, Jesus, why had it to be this way? You were going to raise him. You weren't going to let death steal your dear friend before this week that we call Holy Week, in which you would need him and us so much. Why had it to be this way? Oh, Jesus said, it's for the glory of God, so that the Son of Man may be glorified by means of it. And you can imagine the two sisters saying, yes, Lord, I see. The people, yes, said Jesus, the people will see. You saw already who I was and what I could do. You knew me, you loved me, you trusted me, but think of how many more have seen me now. Oh, yes, they said, I see what you mean. You've got the same kind of thing in the crowd in verses 36 and 37. Oh, how he loved Lazarus. And it's great when people see how much Jesus loves people. How he loved him. But some of the others say, well, he did so many other... Shouldn't he have done something? To paraphrase it, they were saying what so many people said. Oh, why did God let this happen? But let's finish on a happy note. Martha broke convention. It wasn't a done thing for a woman to go running down the road to meet a prominent man in public. Martha broke convention and went hurrying to Jesus. Mary was desolate in her sorrow until her sister came home. Oh, I don't like the word teacher. I was brought up in the old authorized version. It says, the master is here. Mary, the master is here and he's calling for you. Can you imagine me saying, really? Do you mean it? Yes, said Martha. Jesus said, tell Mary to come. And she went. And in the story, Jesus had taught Martha about the resurrection to draw out her faith. But for Mary, oh, he had to deal with her in a different way. She was so sensitive. He called her to himself and showed Mary that death was conquered. The master, oh, you go home with this. The master is here. You can't doubt that. That was obvious as we sang the opening psalm. The master is here. And he's calling you by name. And he's saying to me, tell them to come. That's the gospel. Amen, and may God bless his word to our hearts.